Ravelord Socialta, that is the GA70's A Social Revolution. In a moment, we'll talk to two of those people who were key actors on the Kerry side of things during that social revolution. Right now, though, we're going to have a listen to a little bit of what's coming up on the programme this evening.
Without Kevin Heffernan, I think the GA would have struggled to get a foothold in the city.
Well, Heffer was fantastic. He was a fantastic man manager. He knew that he needed an arm around you or a kick in the arse, you know that. He was brilliant at identifying that.
But avoid Kevin Heffernan canvas erudition. If he can all steal the egg, Honic and finish in ye cities, Consolation Phoenix, Marandera, push it all.
I played here and there was only five people on Hill 16.
We became part of something that was bigger than ourselves.
Dashtrig shocked up to her, Gotrot.
I didn't hit him hard enough.
Yeah. Maybe the judge did.
It wasn't just a cultural revolution, it was a sociological revolution.
The appointment of Kevin Heffernan was a major, major coup.
He became three of the first acts of Wittinchin as kin to the Norman Machine job.
Jimmy pretends to go one, goes the other, takes his shot,
and then the best people and settled people were very separated. Till the GA bring them together, big time.
Datrig on Mion of Eagdini Oga, Fuin Sport.
There was Heffernan raising the bar and Kerry responding.
It developed into one of the greatest Irish sporting rivalries of all time.
Every Christmas I still watch back the matches.
As a wee boy in South Armagh, it was your rivalry that defined my childhood.
Geary, Tommy Fosse Kind for Infern, IBA Kerry in the shock to the
Quick Fergadi and Gallop, Liv Grimmer, Manaw, Pelgreiloch, Ibark and Crook.
The Morganea Free Griot, a car, says they have yoga about it.
Like even Mickey was a sex symbol in 75.
Believe me, there was no love lost on the pitch. Absolutely none.
No love.
We'd go through each other.
Yeah, there you go. Dramatic stuff. That's the documentary which airs tonight on TG Cahir. And with me on the line to talk about this, we've got Anna Mae O'Connor Mullins, who is co-producer and co-director of the documentary. Jimmy Deanahan, former TD, of course, and former Kerry footballer, All-Ireland winner. And Mickey Nate O'Sullivan as well, former All-Ireland winner with Kerry and former Kerry captain from 1975. Good morning to all of you and thanks for joining us on the programme.
Good morning, Jerry.
Anna Mae, I might start with you. Tell me about the inspiration behind this and you know, where it comes from, the story of, I suppose, Gaelic football and its lack of popularity at the start of the 1970s and that rivalry then that defined the era.
Well, Gerry, I'll tell you where it came from was the fact that 1974 was the 50th anniversary of the Dublin-Galway match when Dublin came from nowhere to win the All-Ireland. Galway were a foremost team. They were, in 1974, they were coming to Croke Park for the third time in 4 years and they were sure they would beat this Division II team in the National League and go home with the cup. But that didn't happen. And this, when Kevin Heffernan came on board at the end of 1973, he changed the tactics in the game and Galway weren't ready for this new change. And the new tactics lost Galway that game. So everything changed. Dublin, the last time Dublin had won in All-Ireland was in 1963. They won a Leinster title in 65, but after that, football faded in Dublin completely due to, of course, League of Ireland soccer became very strong with Shamrock Rovers and teams like that from the mid-60s. And then English TV, like the BBC and ITV, with Match of the Day and Big Match, So that started getting everybody hooked on English soccer. And by the early 70s, there was no focal point of interest in Dublin. Their heroes were Manchester United, Leeds, and that kind of thing. Dublin football had faded. So there was a need. There was, as I said, no focal point of interest. The economy was quite bad. It was after the first oil crisis. So inflation was double digits. Mortgage rates were double digits. So it was a pretty bleak time. And when Dublin came on board and won the All-Ireland in 1974, it inspired the creation of new clubs. Existing clubs developed and made clubhouses, and there was the social occasion at the weekends and the crack. So everybody started getting involved, young people, their parents, and it changed everything. And then the following year, you had this hero in Kerry, Mico Dwyer, who was an amazing footballer himself, and he came on board as manager, and he brought together the likes of Jimmy and Mickey Ned, those young players, and Pat Spillane, I think, was only 19, and all those young players, and they were actually excellent young players as well in the minor, and they had won the under-21, as far as I know. Mickey Ned or Jimmy might correct me on this, that they won the under-21 in 1973, and Mick brought a lot of those players. So here he had this young Gary team, the Dublin team, and so the Dublin lads that were after coming from nobodies to heroes, to celebrities.
Yeah.
So here you had, the stage then was set, Jerry, for this amazing rivalry between Dublin and Kerry.
Yeah, certainly was. Jimmy Dean, if I can start with you, just were you aware of it at the time when it was happening, that sort of terrace culture which came into the GAA, maybe from soccer or the popularity within Dublin? Because I remember many years ago now, I interviewed Jimmy Keaveney and talked about his time playing for Dublin. And he actually played hurling for Dublin. And he said it was a time when he played hurling. He'd tell people, "I played hurling for Dublin," because it was more popular, but he would never admit that he played football for Dublin. It was almost an embarrassment at one stage.
Well, I'll tell you, Jerry, I worked in Bachelor's Pea Factory in Dublin in 71, 72 and 73. And obviously I would be coming home for games, including with Kerry under-21s, with Finnoog, obviously. And I worked a night shift, and most of the people that were working on night shift at that time, the fitters and so on, were all from Sheriff Street around inner city Dublin, up around Cabra. But I would tell them I'm going home for a game, and they'd be very nice about it. They were all great characters, but the GA to them was a kind of a redneck sport, as they used to describe it, and ball up in the air. And they were just they had no respect for the game whatsoever. They were soccer people, generally speaking. And but then I remember coming out of the All-Ireland, after the All-Ireland in 74, and some of the people that were kind of sarcastic about it and cynical about it or whatever, they were there clad in blue. So that really summed up to me what happened, that whole cultural change, that whole attitude change towards Gaelic football in Dublin. Overnight, it happened, and it was all because of Kevin Heffernan and the team he put together. And that particular team, when you look at it, you had Brian Mullins. Brian Mullins, I played rugby with Brian in the National College of Physical Education, but Brian could have made an international rugby player. He played under 19 with Leinster, for example. David Hickey definitely could have made an international rugby player. Bernard Brogan played international basketball at underage level. Kevin Morden afterwards played international soccer with Ireland. So he put together a really powerful squad of players. And I suppose Kerry did respond at the time through Mico Dwyer and through his inspiration. So it created a whole new era for Gaelic football. And even on that GAA goal now, young people are still seeing those matches, and they're referred to those all the time. And a lot of things happened in between, and great players came. But that period kind of still stands out in people's minds of being one of the great periods of Gaelic football in Ireland.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, stay with me on the line. We're going to talk a bit more about this. We're going to talk with Mickey and O'Sullivan as well about that. A few of your own memories of the time and what it did for the sport. We want to hear from you. We'll have more with them after we take these. We're talking about a documentary which catalogues the social revolution of the GAs in the 1970s, as I suppose defined by the rivalry developed between Dublin and Kerry. We've Anna Mae O'Connor Mullins, who is co-director and producer of the documentary, Jimmy Dean, and of course, and Mickey Ned O'Sullivan with us on the line. And Mickey Ned, if I could talk to you about it, were you conscious of it when you were playing in those games? I suppose the effect the rivalry was having and the transformational aspect that it had, or was it more after the period that you understood, yeah, we've been through something incredible here?
You probably weren't looking at the bigger picture at the time. The only thing a player is interested in is on winning the game they're playing and on the next ball. They didn't think the long-term effects that these teams, between them, they would go on to win 12 out of 13 All-Irelands from 74 to 86. Players are totally focused on the game at hand and the next game. Nothing else matters, because if they start thinking of the bigger picture, you'll lose the focus. But what we were very aware of, that this Dublin team in 74 had brought the Gaelic football to a new level in terms of the type of football they were playing was bringing a new dimension to it, and the standard of fitness had gone through the roof. It was just an incredible... So what we did know, that if we had to beat Dublin, we had to get to a level of fitness that a Kerry team had never experienced before that. So that was the only thing we were conscious of.
Was it the brand of football that was played by both Kerry and Dublin? The exciting, fast-paced, lots of goals. That I suppose the crowds liked what they were seeing on the terraces, or from the terraces. Was that part of
it? Yes. And it was the brand of football, the level of fitness. But above all, it was the urban-rural rivalry, the town-country. Yeah. That was there, and the people of Dublin up to 74, as Anne May said, the penetration level of Gaelic games was only 5%. Suddenly it began to infiltrate into the whole culture of Dublin, and they had a team to follow instead of, we'll say, Manchester United and Leeds United at the time. Now they had their own Heffo's Army. And this brought a whole new glamour to the game, as well as the standard of football, as well as the extra and the intensity, and of course the urban-rural rivalry. And then you also had a personal rivalry between Mickey and Kevin Heffernan. So that all added to the...
Yeah, there were so many media storylines out of it as well, which all added to the interest about how these figures are doing a certain day. And I mean, if I could ask you, that side of it is explored in the documentary, but the sociological element of it, the fact that Ireland was kind of in the doldrums, the oil crisis, there wasn't much happening, and then all of a sudden just exploded onto the scene. How important was that in terms of what happened on the sports field, but what happened in general in the country in the 70s?
Yes, for younger listeners this morning, Gerry, Ireland was a very different time in the 70s. For example, women, there were some pubs that wouldn't allow women in to have a drink. Or if they did allow them in, they couldn't sit at the bar. They'd have to be seated. So it was that kind of Ireland we were living in. And then we were after joining the EC as well, and... equal pay was implemented. The Anti-Discrimination Pay Act was introduced in 1974, and then women, and it was implemented in 1975. So there were a lot of things happening for women in society as well. And like the first Ladies All-Ireland was held in 1974 in Durrow, County Leash. Women wouldn't have been allowed to play Gaelic football in Croke Park at that time. So the GAA had to change as well. But in the case of ladies football, it took until 1986 for the first All-Ireland to be played in Croke Park. So it took that length of time for the GA to change as well. And the GA changed a lot in the 70s. But from the point of view of Mickey Ned was talking about, you know, you just go out to win. But from my father was from County Offaly, and I grew up in County Westmeath. And all we were doing was watching the Dublin-Kerry rivalry. One of my brothers, I tell this story because it's an example of it as well. They won the under 16 final in 1977, and all they wanted to do was go and watch Dublin and Kerry in the All-Ireland semi-final. They didn't want to celebrate. It was everywhere. Janet Byrne says in the video, we just heard it there a while ago, when he came in by video to the celebrations in Kerry. Growing up in South Armagh, it was your rivalry that defined my childhood. So it was everywhere. It wasn't just in Dublin and Kerry. The whole country got involved. And then new clubs developed everywhere throughout the country. More women started going to the matches. Their parents and everything. So there was it was huge.
Jimmy, it was huge financially as well, I'd say, for the GAA. That influx of supporters and sponsors getting interested as well, it all flowed. Like, when Dublin is going well, I mean, the GAA does well financially.
Well, certainly it was. And it was huge for Dublin from a business point of view and throughout the country, because Heffo's army travelled all over the country, and even, as we know, even still, when Dublin are playing a league match in Kerry and Tralee, for example, there's a huge influx of Dublin supporters. So it changed the whole thing, and people wanted Dublin to be playing in their town because they knew that Dublin supporters would come and spend a lot of money. And it was the same with country people going to Dublin, and even the weekend of an All-Ireland, people in Kerry would say, oh God, there's going to be an awful lot of money taken out of the county now, obviously with the Kerry supporters going to Dublin. So look, it changed attitudes, and it changed, as we were saying, introduced a whole new culture to Gaelic football. And it also, people respected and recognised Gaelic football more after that whole decade between Kerry and Dublin. And it produced some really great athletes as well. So it is definitely represents a cultural revolution, and I'd like just to compliment Anna May for identifying this, and for, I suppose, now through this documentary will explain it clearer to people why it was so important as a decade in Ireland, but also for Gaelic football.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, well, that's it's a remarkable programme. It's going to be on this evening, 7:45 on TG Cahir. Jimmy, just a final word with you. I know you want to pay tribute this morning to Gerard Lynch, a remarkable life in politics and a remarkable life in business in Lord Kerry.
Certainly. And the Lynch family has played a major role in politics and life in Kerry, going right back to the War of Independence. Gerard's father was part of the Flying Column in Kerry, Jack Lynch, and he later became a TD then, 1949, and he played a huge role in the development of the new state in his own way. And then Gerard went into Kerry County Council, became a TD, then he was a senator. Unfortunately for him, he lost two elections by just 140 votes. He was very unlucky in that sense. But he was willing then to step down and support me for the rest of my life in politics for 33 years after that. But not alone was he a great TD and businessman, but also he gave huge time to Listowel Race Company. And Listowel Race is now up there as one of the premier race meetings of the year. And Gerard, with his fellow directors, played a key role in ensuring that. So he has made a huge contribution. And during the 70s as well, when he was a TD, that was one of the greatest periods ever in North Kerry. Kerry Co-op started. Jordan was very supportive of that. Melcher came to Listowel, Stelrad came to Listowel. So he had a huge impact in industry as well in the area at that particular time. So he has left a huge legacy of success to the people of North Kerry. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, he certainly has. And our thoughts are with his family today. Yes, sorry, Jimmy.
Yeah. I just say, he was married, himself and Margot, and they were married for 72 years, actually, this year. So 72 incredible. Years, they got married very young. So it was just incredible. He had a great life, and he lived life right up to the end. I understand that he wanted, actually, to come over to Listowel Races last September to be there as a director. So he lived life to the full. He had a great life. He made a huge contribution to his family and to North Kerry. And certainly he deserves all the plaudits now and recognition that he's getting at this moment.
Yeah, he certainly does. Well, look, my thanks to you for talking so well about him, Jimmy, and to yourself and Mickey Nate O'Sullivan, and also to Anna May with us on the line there, Anna May O'Connor Mullins, for that work on that brilliant documentary. It's going to go out this evening, 7:45 on TG Cahir. Check it out. If you have any comments or views for us, get in touch with us on the programme as well. And there is there's two versions of the programme, by the way. Tonight, 7:45, it's got Irish Sign Language and audio description on TG Cahir Worldwide and TG Cahir TG4.ie, and Tuesday the 30th of December at 9 o'clock with English subtitles and audio description on TG Cahir Worldwide and TG Cahir.ie. That's Rave Load Socialta, that is the GAA in the 70s, the social revolution. Anna May O'Connor Mullins, producer and co-director, Jimmy Deanahan and Mickey O'Sullivan are two key players for the Kerry team in that era as well.